assembly, everyone that is in the building, my wife, everyone. Grace and peace from the Father, and let his peace be multiplied in your life in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to use for a thought just this morning the power of Pentecost. Amen. That there should be power in Pentecost. Today marks the 50th day since Passover, which we celebrate sometimes and the week of Easter, and as we call it sometimes, or the week of the Passion, the Resurrection Sunday week, amen. 50 days since that Sunday, we find ourselves in what we call Pentecost Sunday. It is something that God wanted the children of Israel to recognize. He wanted them to know it. He wanted them to make sure that they marked that day, and so that they could celebrate, so that they could have a festival or a feast. Pentecost, the word itself means 50th. This is because they wanted to have a feast, or it's also called the Feast of Weeks. They had that Feast of Weeks, or the Day of Pentecost. They had this beginning of the feast because they were reminded of what God had blessed them with in the harvest, all right? When we look at this Pentecost, we gotta consider what it all brought in the Day of Pentecost. The Pentecost was a phenomenal day in history. Several reasons why is because, first off, it was the day of the coming of the Holy Spirit, in which God had promised them through Joel, and he had promised them through John the Baptist, and he had also promised them through Jesus Christ that would come. Not only was it the day that the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the believers, and those believers became the first fruits, if you will, of the church, but it also was the birth of the church. It is when the church finally came together under the power and leadership of the Holy Spirit. It was the infilling of believers with the Holy Spirit, and this marked the time where no longer did we need a law to govern us from the outside, because now we had the Spirit of God, God himself, on the inside to govern us and to guide us. One way that you really know that you're saved is that the Holy Spirit deals with you. He comes to reprove you. He comes to rebuke you. He comes to tell you what's right and what's wrong. And so when you do something you should not do, the Holy Spirit starts working on you immediately. Now, if you don't have any problem doing some wrong stuff and the Holy Spirit never, ever tell you anything, I don't have any other way to tell you, but you probably ain't saved. But if you have conviction, that means that the Holy Ghost is working on you. And you ought to be glad, because none of us are where we ought to be. None of us are who we ought to be. But thank God the Holy Spirit is working on me so I can be what God wants me to be. Amen. And so when we look at this, we understand that the Feast of Pentecost, it was a celebration. It was a time of praising God, a time of thanksgiving. And, you know, that's why I kept saying it early in the service, that we ought to be thankful on today, because it was a time that they recognized that what they had put in the ground, that God had blessed them with a harvest. Pentecost was during the first beginning of what we call the month of June, but they called it a different month. But it was the beginning of June, and it was the feast of the harvest, meaning that they were able to harvest stuff, and they were so happy that God had brought them an abundance of stuff that they couldn't do nothing but give God thanks. They would take two lambs, or they would take shoe bread, and they would wave it before the Lord and say, God, I thank you for what you blessed me with. I thank you for what you gave me, you know. And they would be so happy, and they would rejoice by the harvest that God had blessed them with. Now, we can look at this and we can say, well, that was then. But think about what God is blessing you with. Think about what God has done for you up until this part of the year. We've been going 6 months. That means half of the year, and you're still here. You've been going half of the year and God has still blessed you. You thought that you wasn't going to make it in January, and by the way, it's June now, and now you realize that you made it through February, the coldest month of the year. You made it through March when all the people had their hand out and said, gimme, gimme, gimme. You still made it through that. Your bills was due, didn't know where the money was coming from in May, all the stuff that you had to do for your children during that time, and you thought you wasn't going to make it, but here it is, June, and you made it. Now, if we don't have something to be thankful, I just gave you a few things that you can think about that you can say, Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for letting me make it. I thank you that you didn't let me die in the storm. I thank you that you didn't let me wear out and that you didn't let me be in the fold up and throw in the towel during the time that it was hard in my life. You made it through the holidays. And you know those are some hard days because you thought about your loved ones, but you made it. They would give God thanks. It was a day, and God said, set this time aside so that you can give me praise for what I've done. We ought to set some time aside so that we can give God some praise. It was a time to note that the harvest of the field. It was also called not only the day of Pentecost, but it was called the Feast of First Fruits or the First Fruits. And so what it meant is that they would take the first fruit, they would take what they have gotten out of the field and the blessing that God had given them, and they would take the first of it and they would give it to the Lord. Now, there's some teaching now that's kind of erroneous, and I won't get too deeply into that. They tell people in January, you know, bring your first check, you know, but Pentecost was the time when you brought your firstlings. I'm going to leave that alone, okay? Now it also says that first fruit, that it was or Pentecost was noting that they came out in the Exodus. They first Passover, and they were to commemorate the deliverance from Egyptian bondage. And so what we should be doing in our case on the day of Pentecost is we should be celebrating the fact that God brought us out of sin. We should be celebrating the fact that we're no longer bound to sin. We're no longer bound not only to sin, but we're not going to go to hell. Lord, have mercy here. We are no longer slaves to what once had a hold of us. You're no longer a slave to devilish attitudes and devilish ways. Also, it was to commemorate the law being given to Moses on Mount Sinai. They believed that on the day of Pentecost, Moses received the law. And that's what they believed. But we got to understand that it did something different for us, because now we have the law giver on the inside of us, the Holy Spirit. So when Pentecost was fully come, the first fruits of the church was born in Acts chapter 2. And the coming of the Holy Spirit, which was promised to them. And so when the Holy Spirit comes, it was a new birth for the church. Amen. Jesus even said, you must be born what? Again, you must be born of water and you must be born of spirit. And so when we are born of the spirit, that puts us into the church. Amen. And we are part of the harvest of the church. Amen here. And so when we look at this, let's look at it. Let's see here. It says in chapter 1, verse number 4, it says they were assembled together and he commanded them. The first thing is that we got to learn how to be assembled. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourself, but people fight with people that go to church have to fight with people that don't want to go to church, because they say, you ain't got to go to no church. You ain't got to do all that. And they feel like, well, I can just stay home. I like what the preacher said last week at a program. He said that, you know, for those people who say they got their pastor on TV, well, when you get sick, call your pastor. Yeah. When you need somebody to counsel, you call your pastor. Yeah. I guarantee you can't get hold of him. All right, let me leave that alone. But he says that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves. He said, as the manner of some is, and the more so when you see the day approaching. What day? We see the end time coming. And if we see the end time coming, then we ought to more so go to church. But if we look around, we don't see people coming to church. Not in these days. No, no, we don't come to church because we got a lot of other stuff that we like to do. But the Bible did say that there will be a great falling away. And I'm like, man, for those who are the elect, they're going to come to church. Those who are part of the church, truly part of it, they're going to make it. Come on and say amen. And so he says that we ought to not forsake the assembling of ourselves. But when we assemble, do we really assemble? What do I mean by that? I mean that when we come, do we actually get in our places in God? Or do we just show up? Because it's just like this, you know, when you go to Ivan Smith and you buy that end table, it comes in a box. It's not even assembled, right? But it is assembled because it's in the same place. But it's not assembled because you can't use it until you put the legs where they're supposed to be. In other words, God can't use you if you're not in your place. So forsake not the assembly. Don't fail to get in the place where God wants you to be. When you get in that place, let him use you. Amen. The reason he gives us the Holy Spirit to begin with is because he is the Spirit of service. The Holy Spirit helps us to serve. The Holy Spirit helps us to humble ourselves and not challenge each other, but to say, okay, I learned how to agree quickly with my adversary because I got the Holy Ghost. I learned how to forgive those who don't like me because I got the Holy Ghost. I learned how to turn the other cheek because I have the what? Holy Ghost. Maybe they don't have it, and maybe they're ignoring him if they do, but I have him, and so I have no excuse. Amen. That's about as good as it's going to get today. And so he says that being assembled together, he commanded them that they should not depart Jerusalem. And sometimes we want to depart Jerusalem. What is Jerusalem? Jerusalem means the place of worship. He said, don't depart from Jerusalem. Don't leave the place of worship. Stay in worship. And you know what that really means for us is that when we leave here, our life should be a life of worship. That's why he said we worship him in the beauty of holiness. Your life should represent holiness. I was talking to somebody one day, and they was all complaining about their marriage, and they were saying, you know, I just ain't happy. I said, well, you know, you didn't get married to be happy. They said, what? What's wrong with you? I said, you got married to be holy. That's what it's about. Because it's like Christ and the church. We don't always make Christ happy, because you know what we do. But he stays with us. You can shack up and for happiness. But when you get married, you're married for holiness. So that you can be a replica of Christ and the church, so you can look like God, so you can show people how it's supposed to be. Yes. All right. That's all right. So he says, stay at Jerusalem, because this is where I want you to be for the blessing. He said, but I want you to wait for the promise that the Father said that he would give you. You heard me talk about it. You heard others talk about it. But in order for you to get the promise, you got to stay in Jerusalem. What does that mean for us? That means that we must stay in worship in order to walk in the promises of God. In other words, whenever I leave here, I still need to apply what I heard. I need to try to live what I know. Because when I do that, I am going to obtain the promise of God. The promises of God don't come when you leave the presence of God. We sit on the premises, but we don't stand on the promises. Amen. And we must walk in the way that God wants us to walk. Amen. All right, let me go on here. I hope y'all all right. Y'all all right? Jesus says, John truly baptized you with water, but not many days you're going to be baptized with the what? Holy Ghost. Not many days hence. He said, it's not going to be long from now. Now, here it is. Jesus had been with them for 40 days. Somebody say 40 days. 40 days. Just want to make sure you're awake. 40 days. He stayed with them for 40 days. 40 is the number of probation. It's the number of trial. And so he was there for 40 days. And teaching them the things of the kingdom. He was seen with people above 500 at one time. He would visit this one and visit that one, teaching them about the kingdom of God. And now he's telling them, he says, stay where you are, because you're going to be endued with the power of God. Amen. And so we need to tell somebody to stay where you are. Don't move. I know the enemy wants you to move. The enemy wants you to do something different. The enemy say this ain't working for you, but you stay and be patient. He said that you need to what? Wait. He says, because you're going to be endued with power. All right? And then when he told them that, here they was, instead of them thinking about what he just said, they want to know the future. That's just like us. Because, Lord, I know you said that if I stay right here, but what about later on? You know, we worried about tomorrow, and it hadn't even got here yet. He said, now I'm going to fill you with power, and so it doesn't matter what come your way, you'll have power to overcome it. Amen. Tell somebody you got power. You have power to overcome whatever comes your way. Whether it comes today, this evening, or tomorrow, you have the Holy Spirit, and you have the power to be able to overcome it, to endure hardness as a good soldier. You have the power. Notice what he said in verse 8. He said, don't worry about that. All of that's in the Father's power, but you will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses. The problem with many of us today is that we don't want to be witnesses anymore because we don't want people to say nothing about us. We don't want them to judge us or think about us in a certain way. But you know what? It doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter what they think. It matters what he thinks. The Bible said, how can we judge another man's servant? You're God's servant. And so whether you rise and fall with your wrongs or your rights, no man has the right to say you're wrong except God. All right, let me leave that alone because that get a little touchy too. But he said, first we ought to be what? Witnesses. Now God has called us to three things. Three things. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you are. He called us to three things. He called us to witness. He calls us to work, and he's called us to worship. If you're not doing those three things in your life, you are not fulfilling the will of God. If you're not working, if you're not witnessing, and you're not worshiping, you're not fulfilling the will of God. You need to be working for the kingdom of God, working to expand the kingdom, working so that people may know who God is. You need to be witnessing to make sure that they understand that I'm a witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ because he rose in me. I'm a witness of the power of the Holy Ghost. Nobody shouldn't be able to tell you that Holy Ghost is for them back then. It ain't for us now because I got the Holy Ghost in me. So you can't tell me. And I was talking to this guy. He's trying to argue me down about some scriptures and stuff like that. I said, I hear what you got to say, but I know what I know because I experience what I know. Oh, come on and say, you might not have experienced what I've experienced, but I have an experience in God that won't let me believe what you believe. Anybody have any experience? If somebody told you something about God, will you be able to say, you know, I know he's a healer. If they tell you, no, God don't heal no more. Yeah, I know he's a healer. God don't speak to people. Oh, I know he spoke to me this morning. That's how come I woke up. I didn't wake up by the alarm clock. I woke up because he spoke a word in my spirit. Shook me and I got up out of the bed. Oh, hallelujah. They can't tell me about my God. I know too much about him. That's why I don't doubt him. I walk with him, and when I walk with him, I get to know him. I get to understand him. I get to experience him. I get to speak to him. I get to know what he wants. I get to know what displeases him and what pleases him. And so I do this every day. Every day I get up, I may not do it all right, but guess what? He sees me, and he knows my rising and my fall. And so he teaches me what pleases him. So he said, be witnesses, but he didn't say be witnesses with other Christians. He said, be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and in what? Samaria. And he said, the uttermost. The uttermost, that means the gutter. That means everywhere. That means anywhere. That means wherever you go, you ought to be a witness. You shouldn't be looking around to see if anybody's noticing you doing something. Oh, come on and say, all right. I'm going to get out of here in a few minutes. This is just the way he gave it to me. I got to give it to you the way he gave it. So we have the promise. But then they were obedient because they went to the upper room. I've been to that upper room. Let me tell you something. It's still an anointing in that room. I'm telling you, we went to the upper room and the power of God that was in that place. We sat there and we discussed the word a little bit, and then it was time to go, and I just didn't feel like going. I was like, Lord, I just don't want to walk away from the upper room, not just like this. They said, okay, it's time to go. Boy, I started singing, And before you know it, the power of God fell. It had some people from some other foreign countries. They were, next thing you know, they were screaming and hollering and rolling on the floor. And I mean, it was, and the people that was with us, they was crying and reaching out, and they was laying out and just speaking in tongues, doing all kind of, it was a whole bunch of stuff going on. Just everybody was doing something. Wasn't nobody spectating. And you know what I thought was funny? We had pictures and video from all those, somebody took pictures and video from everywhere else, except the upper room, because nobody could video that, because everybody was into what God was doing. And when you think about it, we need an upper room experience to where we don't spectate, but everybody participate, so that we can all receive the blessing from being present and in the presence of God. He says in Acts chapter 2, he says when the day of Pentecost was what? Fully come. Now, he said they were in one place and on one accord, right? And here we find out that if you really study it, there were thousands of people that went to the upper room. But there was only 120 of them that decided that I'm just going to wait and see what happened. 120 of them stayed. Now, this Jesus was 40 days with them. And for 10 days, 9 days and a half or more, nothing happened. So a week went by, they ain't seen no Jesus. They ain't heard no voice. They said, this is enough, I'm going home. A whole bunch of them went home. But for 120 people, they said, we're going to keep praying. Will you keep praying when nothing happens? Will you keep praying? Will you hang in there when you don't see Jesus? When you're hanging out, when the experience that you had 40 days ago ain't the same experience, will you keep on keeping on when it seemed like nothing's going your way, when it seemed like you're just in a place, ain't nothing happening? Will you stand fast, and will you stay with it until God does something? Yeah. Is that all right today? Yeah. Will you stay put until God do what he has to do? Yeah. You see, God is not short of his promises. We're just short on patience. The Bible tells us to let patience have her what? Perfect work. In order for patience to work in our life, we must stay with it. Now, we are not patient when we're complaining because we ain't got no other choice. That's not patience. You can't go nowhere. You don't have a choice. You got to stay right there. But the whole time you're complaining and you're crying, that's not patience. Patience is when I'm not going to cry about it because I know God hadn't forgot about me. Amen. I know in due time and in due season, he'll do, because I've humbled myself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt me in due season. The Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, for you shall reap if you faint not. Don't faint because it's not happening when you want it to happen. The problem with us is that we try to direct God too much. We try to tell God who we want him to bless us through. We try to tell God what day we want the blessing. We try to give God a deadline. We try to tell God how to do it, when to do it, and what time we... God, you got to fit into my time schedule, because if you don't do it by this time, I'm just going to do something else. Well, you think that moves God? Just because you want to do something else? God said, well, have at it. What do you think you can do that I can't do? You think that makes God want to hurry up? We got to get our, come on, angels. We got to get our stuff together because, I'll hold him down there. He need me to hurry up. No, God is not saying that. God said, well, go ahead and do what you're going to do. And you're still going to come back and pray some more. You're still going to come back and say, Lord, I don't know what else to do. And I'm telling you, just wait. Just wait. Just wait. We need to learn how to wait. We don't have patience enough to wait. You know, I used to use this as an example, but back when, you know, when I was early on, I used to go to the mall and stuff with my wife. She's a shopper and I'm not. She liked to go look at stuff and go to another store, then come back to that store and look at the same stuff that she looked at a minute ago. And you know, I would go. So I said, let me go find me somewhere to sit down. And I sit there and I look at my watch. And this is before you had all the stuff to entertain you on the phone. So I just sit there and I'm like, man, this don't make no sense. I'm complaining the whole time. Then I got another man that comes sit beside me. He complaining. And so here we go. We both complaining. But we're not, and you know, and then we walk away and brag, well, you know, you got to do what you got to do. You know, you'll be there for your wife. You know, that's what she want to do. And we wasn't patient. We were rushing them. I wish you'd hurry up. Here, what, you want to buy that? Come on, that look good. Yeah, let's lie. Just like, no, you don't even care how it look. Yeah, that look good right there. Go ahead and get it. That's not patience. Just wanting something. I'm saying that to say, because that's how we are. We just want something. We just want something to happen. We don't care what it is. But I don't want just something to happen. I want the will of God. I want what God promised me. I want exactly what God has in store for me. I don't want just any old thing. I don't want him to just appease me. I don't want a pacifier. I want a bottle. Amen. Y'all don't hear me. Lord have mercy. I want what God has for me. Because only what he has for me will suit me. Only what he has for me will satisfy me. And so he told them, he said, go, and he said, and wait. And they went, and the Bible said, on the day of Pentecost, on the day that they were to give thanks. Look at this here. Lord have mercy. The Bible said, when you pray, he said, make your requests be made known through what? Thanksgiving. I think this is good preaching. I don't know about y'all. But he said, make your requests be made known through what? Thanksgiving. Here they were waiting and praying, but on the day that they were supposed to be thanking God was the day that they got the blessing of God. God set aside a day for you to start. That was the day. All they were supposed to do was just thank God all day long. They were supposed to celebrate all day long. And so now you get your mind off what you don't have, and you put your mind on what God has given you and what you do have. That's where we need to be. I got to get my mind off of what I don't have. I got to get my mind off what I hadn't achieved yet and put my mind on what God has blessed me with and all the things he blessed me for and how far he's brought me. I look back at how far God has brought me, and I realize that I need to be thankful. And when we get a thankful heart and a grateful heart, that is when God will bless our heart. I wish I had somebody. We need to know that God will bless us when we're grateful. God will bless us not when we're complaining, but when we're claiming, when we're proclaiming his blessings. Come on and say amen. Amen. When they were in one place and one accord, and he said they were in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind. I got to rush to my clothes. He said, suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. See, that's what I love about God. Without warning, he will interrupt your life. Preach. Without warning, he will do something in your life that you've been praying all this time, and you've been sending your money to TBN, you've been praying, you've been going to conferences, you've been walling on the floor, you've been doing all of that stuff not knowing that God had already had it in store for you. He had it in 2017. He wasn't intending for you to get it in 2012, but you've been praying since 2012, and God blessed you in 2017. I wish I had somebody. God already knew what he was doing. God knows what he's doing. We just don't know what he's doing. I wish I had somebody in the house. Tell somebody, God knows what he's doing. We just don't know what he's doing. But I'm all right with not knowing, because I trust him. I'm all right with not knowing, because I believe in him. I'm like Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust. Oh, yes.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support. We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campty, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you.